Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Since 2015, Ari Shapiro has guided us through All Things Considered, but well before becoming a host of NPR's Pioneer News Magazine show, he provided listeners a front row seat to some of the most pressing and interesting stories all around the world. As a London-based international correspondent to covering the White House, the Justice Department, Ari has joined us from the Arctic Circle and Air Force One. So for a different experience of Ari's talents, you might have caught him singing with the music group The Pink Martini or even performing cabaret with actor Alan Cummings. At 44 years old, Ari has a wealth of experiences to share. So he is. I spoke with Ari Shapiro about his new book, The Best Strangers in the World, Stories from a Life Spent Listening. Ari, you know, you spent some two decades with NPR. When did you begin thinking about sharing your work as a journalist in a more personal way, culminating in this book?
I never intended to write a book until I realized that I had started writing one. I was in the middle of the pandemic in a cabin in the Redwood Forests of Northern California in Mendocino County, and started writing what I actually thought was going to be a solo cabaret show, because I've done those before and thought I will do one again. And as I was writing, I realized that it felt less like something one would deliver from the stage and more like something that would go in a book. And I was curious where it would lead. So I took another step and another step and another step. And by the time I left this place in Northern California called Salmon Creek Farm, I had about three chapters written. And I thought, I wonder whether this could ever actually be a whole book. And some 2 years later, it turns out it is.
Yeah, you're talking about a creative process surrounded by one of the most beautiful places, definitely in California and arguably in the country, along the Lost Coast or the North Coast in Mendocino. Given that you've worn so many journalistic hats in your time with NPR, from an international correspondent, White House correspondent, justice correspondent, just to name a few, how did this range really shape the way that you approach your work day in and day out?
Well, for me, the appeal of storytelling has never been about the specific subject of the story. I've never been a person who has FOMO about covering the State of the Union address, or I have to fly to the scene of a natural disaster because it's the biggest story of the day. But I've always just been curious about the world around me, and I've wanted to meet people and understand who they are and how they live. And so even though I have had experience drilling down into one specific beat, like the Justice Department or the White House, what I love about journalism and what I love about my job hosting All Things Considered is the variety of things that it allows me to access. And so the way I describe it in the book is that it feels like my headset and microphone are like a snorkel and mask that allow me to view hidden worlds that I would otherwise never have access to. And then comes the important part, which is that I get to share those worlds with you.
Yeah. And you also had quite the entry point into NPR. You interned under Nina Totenberg, NPR's longtime legal affairs correspondent. We just had Nina on the show. I know, clearly, of a founding mother of NPR, which I know. Yeah. I asked her about that when she was on her show recently about her book, Dinners with Ruth. How formative was that experience?
Incredibly formative, partly because when I started my internship with her, I had never written an article for the school paper. I had never taken a journalism course. And so I really learned from Nina and from the other NPR journalists who I was helping. You know, when I was her intern, I used to transcribe the interviews that she would do so that she could then use them to find quotes, use my transcripts to find quotes. And in transcribing the conversations she had, I paid close attention to when she asked a follow-up question, how long she would let a person talk before she jumped in, when she would encourage a person to keep going. And those are skills that I still use to this day.
Yeah. And now it's culminating in a book, which really allows you to pause and reflect in a way that, as journalists, can often get away from us, given the constant nature of our work. Mm-hmm. Did you leave with a deeper or a different understanding of the meaning behind the reporting that you've done?
Yeah, what I realized is that, as you say, covering the news every day can be like watching a swollen river go by, where there's branches and debris and leaves, and it's all going so fast that it's hard to cling to any one thing. But as I was writing this book, what I realized is that certain stories I've told, certain people I've met, have kind of snagged on me as they go by and stuck around. And those people, those stories, have shaped the person I am. And the flip side of that is that the person I am has also shaped the stories that I've told. And so as journalists, of course, we want to be a surrogate for the listener. We want to approach stories with objectivity, but we also bring our full selves to the act of storytelling. And part of what I wanted to explore in this book is the boundaries where those two ideas meet, the wanting to sort of put yourself in a box because the story's not about you, and also wanting to bring your life experience and history and identity to the stories that you tell. And that's a difficult push-pull. There's a real tension there.
Was it an enjoyable process?
It was enjoyable in the way that a challenge and learning a new skill is enjoyable. You know, there are things that I enjoy because I know I'm good at them. Cooking is a familiar activity because I do it every single day. This was a very unfamiliar activity. And for that reason, it was difficult. And because of the difficulty, it was enjoyable. There's something satisfying about trying a new skill and not knowing whether you're going to be any good at it or not. There's something nice about continuing to learn all throughout your life. And this was a real learning process for me.
Yeah. And the title is The Best Strangers in the World, Stories from a Life Spent Listening. Was landing on a title an easy lift? What went into deciding on a title?
Well, the truth is, I had a working title that, for various reasons that we don't need to get into, I was not able to use. And so when I was almost done writing the manuscript, I needed to find a new title. And all of the title ideas I had either centered me or you, the reader slash listener, or the people whose stories I'm telling in the book. And one reason that I love the title, The Best Strangers in the World, even more than the working title that I had before, is that it centers the people whose stories make up the body of this book. I mean, in a way, this is almost a memoir told through the stories of others. And so I love that it puts them first.
Yeah. And by listening, you know, when reading the bio for the book or the description for the book, I mean, what is so important, the better that we understand each other, the better we all are off, right? As a society, to find connection and commonality with those who may seem different and to remind us that we're all human. And we can't really think about that without taking in the past 3 years during a pandemic and the unrest within our country, around the world. Did that reinforce this belief for you and perhaps light a fire to write this book in Mendocino?
Totally. I think listening is a superpower that we all have if we choose to access it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that I wrote this book in September of 2020. I started writing this book in September of 2020 when we were all feeling so isolated from each other. And the thread that runs through the book is the experiences we share and the commonalities we have and the act of empathy and seeing the world through the eyes of somebody else. And so now that the book is done and I look at it as a whole, I realize that in telling these stories about connection, I was in some way responding to the isolation that we were all feeling in the depths of the pandemic.
Once readers get to take it in, what do you hope they take away?
You know, there are these wealthy, powerful forces that are invested in telling us why we're different from everybody, that our social media feeds reinforce our pre-existing ideas about the world. Brands tell us that we're a Coke drinker versus a Pepsi drinker, and that makes us somehow better or worse. Politicians, of course, want us to identify with their party, with their followers, and vilify everybody else. And those forces are powerful, but fundamentally, we all share so much more than we might realize on a daily basis. And I hope that this book underscores that for people.
Last question. Is there going to be a cabaret counterpart to this book sometime in the future? Since it kind of began, is that?
Yeah, I would not rule it out. I certainly think it's possible, but if it exists in the future, it's something I have not started writing in the present. So we'll see. I'll be as surprised as you are.
Thank you so much, Ari.
It's been great talking with you. Thank you for your interest.
And that is NPR All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro talking with us about his new book, The Best Strangers in the World, Stories from a Life Spent Listening. The book was just released yesterday. Up next, we're going to head to the Silver State. Parts of Nevada are expected to see some of the best wildflower blooms Nevada has seen in years. We're going to have plant scientists that will join us and tell us where the best spots might be and how to take in this rare sight responsibly. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.